his name is mentioned in scripture over.
I hit the wrong one.
Okay. Let's rewind it, take this.
Check up. I knew it. I'm trying to make sure I didn't do it.
Not a problem.
All right. We're off.
His name is mentioned in scripture over 3,800 times. It has multiple meanings, which reflects his character, grace, power, and personality. One of his titles is so revered that the guardians of the sacred texts deliberately substituted this title for another title in order to preserve its sanctity. Of course, I'm referring to the names and titles, the divine titles of God. If you would please turn to Genesis chapter 1. Today we're going to explore in kind of a Bible study format the divine names and titles of God. Genesis chapter 1. We will read verses 1 through 5. And it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Here, the name for God is translated Elohim. It is plural and is used over 2,600 times in the King James Version of Scripture. The name denotes majesty and is connected with creation. It identifies, the name Elohim does, God the Son as creator when reading and comparing it to John chapter 1, verse 1. Elohim is also used to refer to judges, rulers, false gods, lowercase j, and goddesses as well. In the book of Leviticus, if you would turn there, please, chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. Beginning at verse 10, it reads, "And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Eternal and cursed, and it brought him unto Moses. And his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri, of the tribe of Dan." Verse 12, "And they put him inward, that the mind of the Eternal might be showed them. And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that had cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him." If you notice, it's located in your Bibles in verses 13 and in verses 11, the terms Lord is capitalized, capital L, O-R-D, cap letters. It is translated Jehovah. It is used 305 times in Scripture. It is regarded by many as the principal name of the supreme God of the Hebrews. It means the eternal, the immutable one, and represents God in covenant relationship with his creation. The term is used primarily in the combination Lord Jehovah. Either because of a misinterpretation of Scripture regarding the third commandment, you should not take the name of the Eternal, your God, in vain, or because of some superstition, some Jews regarded the term Jehovah as being so holy that it should not even be pronounced. According to appendices 30 and 32 of the Companion Bible, the Sopharim were authorized by Ezra and Nehemiah to set in order the sacred text of Scripture after their return from Babylon. Their work lasted for 110 years. After their work was completed, the Masoretes were authorized to be the custodians of the sacred text. They were to preserve it. The Masora, or Masoretic text, supposedly locked all words and letters in their places, recording the number of times the several letters occur in the various books of the Bible, the number of words, and the middle words. These same Masoretes, these custodians, out of extreme but mistaken reverence for the ineffable name, a name that's incapable of being expressed in their view, they substituted the term Adonai for Jehovah in 134 passages. So, in Scripture, there are 134 places where it is written Adonai, but the term is supposed to be Jehovah. The term Jehovah is combined with 10 other words in Scripture, forming what is known as the Jehovah titles. If you would please turn to Genesis 22, we'll go over a few of them. Genesis chapter 22. In that chapter, after God proved Abraham, he substituted a ram as a burnt offering instead of, or in place of, Isaac. In verse 14, Genesis 22, it reads, "And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Yireh," as it should be pronounced, "Jehovah Yireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the eternal shall it shall be seen." The term Jehovah Yireh means the eternal sees or provides. God sees and provides, as he did for Abraham, making provision for a sacrifice instead of his son. Skipping ahead to the book of Exodus, you would turn there, please. Exodus 15. Exodus chapter 15. In that chapter, Moses and the people of Israel sang to God for having departed Egypt. And immediately after the song, the Israelites complained because they came upon some water that was bitter, some water that they could not drink. And so they started to complain about it. And of course, God made provision. At the end of, or if you would, go to verse 26. We'll start at 24. Exodus 15, verse 24. It reads, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Eternal, and the Eternal showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Eternal thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Eternal that healeth thee. I am the Eternal that healeth thee." This title of Jehovah is regarded as Jehovah Rophi Eka. Jehovah Rophi Eka, the Eternal that heals you. Strong's indicate that the term for heal here is Rapha, again meaning healing. We flip a page over, Exodus 17. Exodus chapter 17. In that chapter, God declares war on Amalek and his progeny for attacking Israel and for showing no fear or reverence for God. Exodus chapter 17. In verse 13, it reads, And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Eternal said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. God is my banner, my standard. God is my rallying point. Jehovah Nissi. In Exodus 31, as God declares his Sabbath a perpetual covenant, Exodus 31, continuing on the Jehovah titles, beginning at verse 12, it reads, and the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily or truly my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Eternal that doth sanctify you. The Eternal that doth sanctify you. That is Jehovah Mikdashkim. Jehovah Mikdashkim, the Eternal that doth sanctify you. Other Jehovah titles, without getting into it, include Jehovah Shalom, meaning Jehovah sends peace. That's found in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord or the Eternal of hosts, found in 1 Samuel 1, verse 3, and in other places of Scripture. Also, Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah our righteousness, found in Jeremiah 23 and 6. The eighth title, Jehovah Shemon, the Eternal is there, found in Ezekiel 48 and 35, referring to God tabernacling with man when New Jerusalem is revealed. If you would, please turn to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Two more I'd like to read scripture before discussing them. Psalm 7. This is a song of David, referring to the last verse in Psalm 7, verse 17. It says, I will praise the Eternal according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Eternal Most High. Here we read it is Jehovah, the Eternal Most High, which is another title of God, Jehovah Elyon, which we'll discuss later, that term Elyon. The last one, if you turn to Psalm 23, very familiar scripture, the last of the Jehovah titles, you know. Psalm 23. Verse 1. It reads simply, the Eternal is my shepherd. I shall not want or lack. That is Jehovah Roi, the Eternal, my shepherd. And that is the conclusion of the Jehovah titles. I thought if you didn't know or weren't aware of already, it's good to go over. In Isaiah chapter 26, the prophet prophesied that a new song would be sung in the land of Judah after the destruction of the entirety of the earth was prophesied in Isaiah 24, two chapters later, and the removal of death in Isaiah 25. We turn to Isaiah 26. We'll read the opening verses. Isaiah chapter 26. It reads, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the eternal forever, for in the eternal Jehovah is everlasting strength. Here, the Hebrew word for God is Jah, the capital L-O-R-D, in capital letters. It's pronounced Jah, or it's spelled Jah in the Hebrew, J-A-H. It is a condensed or short form of Jehovah. The translation is noted in Scripture 49 times. It is also noted in Psalm 68 as well. The first occurrence of this Hebrew title is in Exodus 15 and 2. You don't have to turn there, it's just for a reference point. In Genesis chapter 16, Hagar used this term to refer to God after the angel of God prophesied her pregnancy and the character of her son Ishmael. Genesis chapter 16. We'll begin at verse 11. Genesis chapter 16. It reads, and the angel of the Eternal said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Eternal had heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. How true, and how the revelation of the meaning of his name has come to form this day. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Eternal that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? In this particular scripture, the Hebrew name for God in capital letters is simply El, E-L. It represents Elohim in all his strength and power, putting his omnipotence into operation. It refers to his might. It refers to his greatness. The term El is used 245 times in Scripture and is translated numerous times. And you can tell when you look at the names such as Ezekiel, Daniel, Bethel. Those are transliterations of the name El to reflect God in the name. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy chapter 32, God instructed Moses to speak the words of a song as a testimony to the Israelites as to how they would turn against God once they entered into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We'll begin at verse 15. And if you remember, we read this during Bible study. We studied the word rock. Deuteronomy 32, beginning at verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. So it describes the fact that when Israel was to receive blessings beyond measure, that they would forget the one who provided the blessing. Verse 16, they provoked him, that is God, to jealousy with strange gods, with abomination. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. In verses 15 and 17, the Hebrew name for God is translated Eloah, E-L-O-A-H, Eloah. It is also derived from the term Elohim. This name is associated with the worship of God and is usually used to contrast or in contrast to inanimate idols. The term is used 57 times in Scripture, including 5 instances where the translation refers to false gods or with the lower G. Going to Genesis 14. Genesis 14, after Abram rescued Lot from Chedorlaomer, Amraphel, and 2 other kings, Melchizedek, the high priest, gives Abram a blessing. Genesis 14. Genesis chapter 14. Beginning at verse 18, it reads, "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Eternal, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. The term Most High, as I've spoken earlier, is translated in the Hebrew language Elyon. Elyon, the term identifies God as the possessor of heaven and earth and is the dispenser of God's blessings throughout the earth. The name denotes greatness and majesty, translated 36 times in reference to God and 17 times for other occasions, including God's promise of making the Israelites high above all nations. The words upper, high, and uppermost is also used for Most High on a few occasions in Scriptures. Continuing on to Exodus chapter 6, if you would turn there, please. Exodus chapter 6. In this chapter, God instructs Moses, after being informed that Pharaoh increase the burden of the Israelites by telling them to gather their own straw to make bricks. It reads as follows. Exodus chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It says, Then the Eternal said unto Moses, Now shall you see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Eternal. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. The term Almighty here is Shaddai. Of course, most people know that, S-H-A-D-D-A-H. Its first occurrence is in Genesis 17 and 1, as God showed Abram that he would supply all of his needs. It is always used in connection with the phrase or title El Shaddai. It means most powerful. And it's used 48 times in Scripture. Continuing on in Exodus chapter 23, if you would turn there, please. Exodus 23. In this chapter, God continues to issue out the judgments to the Israelites that were based on the Ten Commandments originally delivered in Exodus 20. In Exodus 23, set of scriptures that we read every holy day season, beginning at verse 14, it reads as follows. It says, three times you shall keep a feast unto me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it you camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when you have gathered in your labors out of the field. Three times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord eternally. In verse 17, the term Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, comes from the Hebrew name Adon, meaning ruler, master, owner, and possessor of the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, you don't have to turn there, it reads as follows. It says, for the eternal, your God, is God of gods and Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regards not persons, nor taketh reward. And again, this term, capital L, lowercase O-R-D, is translated Adonai, the one who blesses, rules, and owns all of heaven and earth. The meaning is primarily used in the New Testament, with the Greek word being Kyrios, for Lord. Same spelling. Back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Again, very familiar scriptures that you've read. Moses asked God, what should he tell the children of Israel when they ask him what God's name is? Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, it reads, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. I will be what I will be. I exist that I exist. I come into being that I come into being. I remain that I remain. That's what the term I am means, or what is it reference to. In Psalm 111, if you would turn there, please. Psalm 111. Psalm 111 is a psalm of praise. It is referred to as one of the three hallelujah psalms. Psalm 111. Begin at verse 1. It says, praise ye the eternal. I will praise the eternal with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the eternal are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The eternal is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The work of his hands, verse 7, are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Holy and reverend is his name. Reverend, to be afraid in terms of disrespecting and dishonoring God. Reverend, to be in awe of, to honor and respect, to hold in high esteem. This verse is the reason why Churches of God does not refer to any man as a reverend. That is a title that belongs to God, reverend. Continuing in Isaiah chapter 57, Isaiah 57, prophecy was uttered by God himself in this particular verse. Isaiah chapter 57, in verse 15, it reads, "For thus said the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one." Here, God is referred to as the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. He calls himself holy, meaning that he's clean, pure, undefiled, free from sin, free from idolatry, from uncleanness. Going back to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus chapter 34, another title of God is listed. Exodus chapter 34, in verse 14, it reads, "For you shall worship no other God," lowercase g, "for the eternal, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." That term jealous, one who bears no rival, one who only is to be worshipped. Jealous, another name and title for God. In John chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1, of course, in the Greek language, because it's the Greek language, things, of course, changed to John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1, it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Here, the Greek word for God is translated theos, theos. No, we anglicize it most times and call it theos, but pronunciation is theos. And it refers to the Godhead. And again, it denotes supremacy. In Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, as Jesus was addressing the seven churches, Revelation chapter 3, he addresses the church at Laodicea. In verse 14, it reads, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, the Amen. And in our terminology, when we pray, it means so be it. But for this title, the term Amen means the trustworthy. The trustworthy, one who is faithful unto the end. Well, you might be wondering, what was the purpose of this message? Is this guy trying to convert us to some sacred names activity of some sort? What was the goal here? The purpose of this message was to identify the meanings behind the names and titles of God, not to join some sacred name organization, but it was done to enhance our faith, that when we bow before Him, when we bow before the Almighty, we understand that we're coming before Him as the Almighty, the Reverend, the ruler and possessor of the earth, the jealous, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the powerful and gracious God of whom there is none higher or greater, and of whom we are never to be ashamed. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul instructs the church at Rome. He says, beginning in verse 13, he says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received," verse 15, "the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The term Father means author, nourisher, protector, and upholder. It is a personal title that recognizes a familial relationship. Let us be thankful that we can call God, the ruler of the universe, our Father.